today's this evening's shiur is on the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and of course it is inspired by the opening pasuk in our parsha. V'yere Elav Hashem Ba'elokim Be'elonei Mamre V'yoshe Pesach Ha'ohel Kechol Mayom. That Hashem appears to Avram at Elonei Mamre. He's sitting at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And of course, we're all familiar with the famous Rashi, V'yera Alav, why did our Baruch Shalom come to Avraham? Levaker es hachola. Hashem, Baruch Shalom, is doing a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, since Avraham is recuperating, as the next Rashi tells us, in the most excruciating period of his recovery from the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So the question that I would, among others that we'll get to tonight, the one we really need to start with, of course, is understanding whether this is a halachic makor, what is the source of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and of course, once we know the source, hopefully we'll try to get to some, of course not all, but some of the important details of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So there's a number of very important gemaras in this, one of which is a gemara Maseches Sota on Daf Yud Daled. Here, the gemara quotes the pasuk. After Hashem Elokechem Telchu, that we're supposed to be following, walking after Hashem. Tchi Efshelo LaAdam Halach Achar Shechina. Can you really walk behind the Shechina? What does that mean? After all, the pasuk says that Hashem is like an Esh Ochla. It's a devouring fire. You can't get near. It's too powerful. So what's Pshat? Ella Halach Achar Midos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very powerful. Metaphorically, we're supposed to follow after, imitate the Midos of Hashem. Mahu Malbisharumim. So too we should clothe those who need it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biker Cholim D'chsiv, quoting our Pasuk V'yera Lav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre, Afata Biker Cholim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichem Aveilim Afata Biker Cholim Biker Aveilim, thank you. Biker Aveilim. So Gemara gives you a number of examples. Prime among them is our mitzvah of Biker Cholim, and tells us that these are derived by the source of imitating Hashem from this pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Telchu. We're supposed to follow after Hashem. What does that mean? Follow after His midos. The Gemara in Bav Metzia on Daf Lamed Amud Beis also talks about the similar notion. Vadat Lehem Ze Es Haderech Shal Yelchuba. What's Haderech? We're supposed to follow this path. Es Haderech Zug Milas Chasadim Yelchu Ze Bikur Cholim. Again, another example of where the Gemara seems to be deriving from a pasuk in Chumash, a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The Gemara in Nedarim actually has a different makor, a third Gemara. The Gemara in Nedarim has asked the question directly, Remez le Bikur Cholim in Atara Minayin. Where do we know Bikur Cholim from the Torah? So interestingly, Gemara doesn't quote our pasuk in our parsha, doesn't quote the pasukim that are mentioned in the Gemara in Sota, Gemara Bamasiya. Here the Gemara has a different pasuk. This is from Korach. This is in Perek Tezayin, pasuk of Tes. Here, Hashem, this is with Moshe is talking. This is before the big earthquake. So Moshe says, Im kamus kala adam yamusun, elef, like the death of normal people, these people will die. Ufkuras kala adam yipaket alehem, lo Hashem shalochani. If they die a natural death, then it'll be clear that Hashem didn't send me. And of course, if they die a supernatural death, which is what happens, that'll be a proof. So this, the Gemara understands, is an idea, again, it's a little bit of a convoluted limud, but the Gemara does derive, it strings out from here, the idea of the death of the normal people, and normal people are visited when they're sick. And the Gemara has a limud that is called the Remez Le Bikur Cholim Min HaTorah. It's also worth noting, just because it's EFSHAR to overstate how important Bikur Cholim is. So we should also remind ourselves the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuchav Zayin, that tells us that Bikur Cholim is one of the six things in which one is not only rewarded in the world to come, but Ochel Perasehem Ba'olam Hazeh. We are rewarded even in this world. I stress that, I would stress this anywhere, but especially in such an environment, Shir, just, I can tell you personally, and I don't think this means that I'm such a bad person naturally, but I can tell you that left to my own devices with the pressures of time and schedule, I think I would virtually do no Bikur Cholim. To the extent that I have a chelek in Bikur Cholim, there's only one reason, because I'm a rabbi. And I have to. But we're so busy, and I say for most of us men, we're not trained in yeshiva, if this is important. I'm not saying we're told it's not important, but it's not emphasized. I never heard the word bichalom in all my years in yeshiva. I was in yeshiva many years. So that's my wife. For many, many years. No one ever told me said the word bichalom. Unless it came up in a gemara, maybe. Doesn't mean people weren't doing it. I don't know. But it's not a focus of our education. It's a schus of being a rav that you have to do certain mitzvot. But I really, really... it's changed my life. It's such a powerful mitzvah, and it's really parosei b'olam hazeh. You feel the mila of that mitzvah, and you see how important it is to people. It's really something that's very special, and I know you're all busy, trust me. And there's so many competing things to do with whatever free time you have, at least of which is learning. But I would definitely encourage you to consider being more actively involved in this mitzvah. Okay, enough of the advertisement. Robertson Weinberg will now pay me, and we can now move on to the regular scheduled program. So now I want to ask the question, not only from Rashi and our Parsha, the Gemara in Sota, the Gemara in Darim, the Gemara in Mitzia. We've got a lot of things we can shoot for. What is the mocker of Bikur Cholim? And now I'll make it much more simple. Take all four of those, theoretically. Is Bikur Cholim Mitzvah Daraisa? Does the Torah obligate us to visit people? Here I am telling you how important it is and how wonderful it is. Is that a Torah obligation or not? So, this is a major, major discussion in the Rishonim. Very big literature. If you're interested in going a one-stop shop to get the biggest sikkum of this that I'm familiar with, notwithstanding, I guess, the Encyclopedia Talmudis, which I didn't look at, but I assume that would be a good place to look. It's up to, you know, they got up to the letter Beis. But the original encyclopedia, so to speak, Stechemed discusses this in his Mareches Beis. Stechemed collects the whole, as he does often, literature on this. And basically, I'll give you the following highlights. Perhaps the most well-known position, controversial or otherwise, of this is the position of the Bahag. Famous because the Rambam, in attacking him, made him famous. It's a Musar in general for when we are upset with people. Sometimes if you want to keep them, don't attack them. You give them more popularity. So the Bahag counts in Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Vav, Bikur Cholim, as a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. And he counts it, therefore, as part of his Minyan Tayag. The Rambam, very famously, in the Sharashim, before the Rambam gets to Sefer Mitzvos, he has a Sharashim, which are basically his rules for how he decided what would be in the 613 and what would not be. So the Rambam vehemently attacks this Bahag. We'll have to get to that in a moment. But the Bahag says what he says. And the truth is, the Bahag's not alone. If you look at one of the Bali Atosos, the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, or Yitzchak Mikavril. So he, in Mitzvah Mem Zayin, in his listing, he also calls Bikur Cholim. Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rabbeinu Yonah, his Chedushim, Hamidat Rabbeinu Yonah, Maseches Brachos, and Paragimbal, he says it's Daraisa, Tosfos Yontif, in the Gemara Brachos, there quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah. Furthermore, one of the Midrashim, collection of Midrashim that we have is called the Medrash HaGadol. So look at the Medrash HaGadol in our Parsha. He quotes this whole story with Avraham and Hashem Kim Vakar Cholim, and then he sums it all up by saying, from here we should know that Mikan Lamdu Labikur Cholim in HaTorah. This measure seems to be superficially also on the side of this Bahag. Furthermore, even though typically we don't view it this way, we view it as much less, but the Maharaz Chis, in his comments to the Gemara in Nedarim that said, Remez Lebikur Cholim in Atar Minayin, so he has a tie, he says, what's that chat, Remez? It's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Meaning, okay, maybe it's not really from that Pasuk, as I mentioned, it's a very convoluted way of learning it from that Pasuk in the Gemara there, from Parshas Korach. But it's a way of saying we can somehow connect it to a pasuk. It's halach l'moshe v'sinai. That would certainly make it on a daraisa level. And finally, as a possible further source, sometimes we can have a mitzvah daraisa because it is a subcategory of something else. So in this is an example. The Tshuvas Maharil says that, you know why Bikur Cholim is daraisa? Because it's part of the mitzvah of what he calls l'hachios Yisrael or pikuach nefesh. A person is all alone, lonely, no one's visiting them, and it's not just emotionally. We'll see that an essential component of Bikur Cholim is to help the person with their needs. The person can't get up, can't get something to eat. I was just, I saw online today that that famous symbol of the, I guess some of the delay in the government response to the hurricane in New Orleans, this woman who was, the picture was for days, she was sitting in a wheelchair, she had passed away in her wheelchair in front of the Louisiana Superdome. And she sat there, already Nebuch Nifter, and put like a sheet over her, for days. in front of the Superdome. This is a famous, famous picture from that. So she was just buried yesterday. She was. I mean, it took a few days. Why they waited? You know, they don't have the Kavod HaMeis sensitivity of getting burials right away. Why they waited? Who knows? Maybe the aunt had to come from San Francisco. I don't know. But Lamaisa, she was there. The whole world was looking at this for days that she had passed away. What happened? She was okay. She was transported. She was in her attic. The water was coming up. Her son, who's himself like 65 years old, grabbed her, took her on a boat. And said, "Oh, you'll be safe in the Superdome." But she's sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. She needed something to eat. She was sick, obviously. She was 90 years old. But she basic trachim she needed. No one came. So she died. Says Maril, Bikur Cholim is Sakanas Nefashos. You have to go. If you don't go, how are the people going to survive? So that would also, if you will, get it into the Daraisa rubric, if that would be considered a rigorous halachic makor. As I said, all of this is only one side of the story. The one who really takes this as a famous battle, again, starting with the Bahag, is none other than the Rambam. The Rambam discusses this really in three places, specifically. He discusses it twice in the Sefer Mitzvot, both in Shorash Aleph and Shorash Beis, and he also discusses this in in the beginning of the 14th parak of Hilchos Avil, which is what the Rambam calls his halachos of Avelos and Bikur Cholim in Mishneh Torah. And basically, to put it all together, the Rambam's shita is as follows. He says, first of all, Bikur Cholim is only derabanan, and that's why it should definitely not be counted in the Taryag. However, he then says something that's, we'll have to see exactly what he means. It's very intriguing and not so simple to understand. Even though it's definitely the Rabbanon, he says this explicitly more than once, Bikur Cholim has only been a Rabbanon, nevertheless, have you mechlal, mitzvah saseh shel, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. So first of all, it's fascinating. He had four choices from Shas, the Rabbanon picked none of those psukim. It's not bechlal, v'halachta b'drochov, like the Gemara originally seemed to say. It's not bechlal. It's bechlal, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Now that's obviously a daraisa. The Rambam counts v'yahavta l'recha kamocha as a daraisa. So exactly what this means is not 100% clear. He says explicitly it's a darabanan. The Rambam lists six or seven things. Nichum aveilim, enach nasas orachim, and bikur cholim. They're all mirabanan, but they're mechlal. They're somehow part of the bigger picture of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Who else holds that this is only a darabanan? The tour. This is the siman in Shulchan Aruch and bikur cholim. It's the one right before Hilchos Avelos, and it's in the Yoredeya, Simon Shin Lamed Hey. So the Tur says, quotes the whole story, V'asmachuhu Akra, our Pasuk from Parshas Vayera. And it attached it, it hung it, it gave a little support by quoting the Pasuk in our Parsha, but not because that's really an actual source. The Me'iri in the Darim also says it explicitly to Darabanan, which is not surprising. Much more often than not, the Me'iri follows the Rambam. So if the Rambam Shita was Darabanan, it's not surprising that the Me'iri also was Darabanan. And the question, which I want to focus on for a moment to give you three possible suggestions in Achronim, is how to understand the Rambam. And you can ask it in two ways. First of all, as some seem to ask, Hayitachain, is it possible that until some, so to speak, moment in history, when Chazal said now we have a new takana called Bikur Cholim, that there was no mitzvah from the Torah to visit sick people? Hayitachain, could it be? If you'll tell me, Nichum Aveilim, so the whole construct of Avelis may only be Midr Rabbanon. An idea of Shiva for sure is Midr Rabbanon, according to almost all Rishonim. So okay, so as in its earliest moments that they had a thing called Shiva and Avelis and a formalized sense, which is definitely a creature of Chazal, not the Torah. So then Chazal right away said, the person not supposed to just sit in his house by himself, go to Nichum Avelim. But Bikur Cholim, until whatever moment in history there was a Takana, there was no mitzvah Bikur Cholim, that's one way you could ask the question. A Svara. The other way is to say, listen, how do you make heads or tails out of the Rambam? He says it's Darabanan, but then he says it's Michlal, V'hathurecha Kamocha. He himself quotes V'hathurecha Kamocha as a Daraisa. So, these are the questions on the Rambam. It's definitely a little bit more complicated than the other Shita. And the other opinions, like the Tur and Meiri, who just say it's Darabanan, so they're also easy. The Svara, maybe that we could ask on anybody. If you hold us Darabanan, how you talking? How could it be? But the other point, which is, I guess the stronger question is that the Rambam's words themselves, internally, seem to need a little bit of an explanation. So I want to share with you three answers. Many years ago, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal lost a young grandson. One of his grandsons died. And this was really towards the sunset of where he still had kochos. He only passed away a few years ago. But while he still had kochos, this when I say kochos, I mean after he was paralyzed in half his body from a stroke. But he wrote four svarim after that. But the first of those svarim was a sefer that he wrote called Od Yosef Yisrael Beni Chai, which is a sefer as his chedushim on Hilchos Avelos in memory of his grandson. So in that sefer, he begins, the order of the sefer is the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So the first thing he addresses is Bigul Cholim. That's the beginning of Shin Lamed Hei. That's before Hilchos Avelos. So in his discussions, Brisker, so he's going to harrow over the Rambam, who was pshat. So he says two dinim. No, I'm just kidding. He says really there are two aspects. I don't mean it's not stereotypically. He develops something very, very beautiful, and he says the following. He says whether it's v'hafrucha kamocha that the Rambam said, or like the Gemara seemed to imply, it's more of what we call the halachta bedrachov, what they call imatatio dei, mahu afata. So we're familiar with the other Gemara that says mahu rachum, afata rachum, mahu chanun, afata chanun. So this Gemara in Nesota wasn't talking about, so to speak, emotions, if you will, rachum, so to speak, or more general adjectives. They were speaking about more specific things, bigur cholim, but it's the same thing. It's a mahu afata. That's what we call halachta bedrachov. The Rambam makes a very big deal about that in Hilchos Deos. That's where all of our midos come from. Midos means we're imitating Hashem, and it sounds like it's a mitzvah daraisa. Yeah?
Is the definition of
bigur
cholim the same according to everybody? It could be that it's just a visit according to
Hashem.
It could be looking for his needs.
But I want to get to, in the shir, God willing, time allowing, what the details, how do you fulfill, again, not every detail, it's not going to be a bigur cholim manual now, but in terms of, in the words of the Rishonim, how do they define what to do? But I didn't think of, and even Sina would have thought of, connect this machlokas. So keep that in the back of your mind. When we get to that part, you'll see if you think it makes sense. Can we make the point? I'm intrigued by the possibility, but I don't know if it's true or not. So keep it in the back of your mind. It's a possibility. So what Rav Soloveitchik said is, these mitzvahs, whether it's Yahat Rucha Kamocha, or this idea of imitating Hashem, Bahalach Medrachov, says both of those, the essence of those mitzvahs, are Kiyim Shebelev. What kind of a mensch are you? Are you one who's empathetic, who's caring, who's helpful? So in order to demonstrate all of those, you may actually have to do things. Right? Talk is cheap. But Lamaisa, when we do certain things, the kiyum is not what we did. What we do for somebody else, it starts to be a hechatimsa, so that it should mold who we are. That's the chiyuv of Yahatharacha Kamocha, and it's certainly very clearly what kind of person are you going to become? Just like Hashem is merciful, you should be merciful. Just like Hashem is kind, you should be kind. It's all about your internal development. That's v'hafrucha kamocha or v'halachta bedrachov. It says that is a kiyum d'araisa. But lamaisa, so how do you actually do this? What are the specific things? And there could be an endless list. But to the extent that Chazal wanted to give us specifics, so how do you go about living a life that will inculcate v'hafrucha kamocha? How do you go about a life that will inculcate being a chanun, being a merachum? So Chazal said, be mevaker cholim, and be menachem aveilim, and be machnas orchim, and give tzedakah, and other specifics. Those specific directions, this is how you have to do it, that is mitzvah rabbanan. It says, this is what pshat in the Rambam is. It's the specifics of what to do, the actions, those are rabbinically guided. It's mechlal v'yahavtarecha kamocha, or in the Gemara's terminology, v'yahavtarechav, because by doing those to fulfill the darabanan, you also have a kiyum shebelev. You're transforming yourself in a way which is a kiyum d'oraisa. This is not a novel concept, if you will, this concept of chazal, the Torah having a general kiyum, but leaving over the details and the parameters to the chachamim. If you open up Masechta Ma'akot, not going to everyone, but if you open up Masechta Ma'akot, in the discussions of Chol HaMoed, if you look at the first Rashi there, Rashi seems to define exactly this way. That exactly the concept of Chol HaMoed is daraisa, but what malachos are going to be asr, etc., that was nitin l'chachamim. As you may know, there's a major malachos rishonim. You can put like 10 on one side, 10 on the other side, maybe even more than 10 on each. A major battle royal about what is malacha on Chol HaMoed. Is it daraisa or is it darabanan? But Rashi is like a hybrid of that position, of the whole machlokas. Rashi says it's somehow a combination. In concept, it's daraisa, but it was given over masruha l'chachamim to determine the details. So l'mosha ma'adam adoma, that's what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is saying here about bikur cholim. The specific mitzvah to visit somebody, that's the rabbanon. But there's an internal kiyum in the person who visits. This is, so to speak, in a very more powerful way, what I was alluding to autobiographically, the opening of the shir. That by me getting more involved in bikur cholim, I feel it. I feel that it it does something to you in a very, very meaningful way. That's what he says is daraisa, as opposed to the specific actions that you're doing that may be only mita rabbanan. That's a more of a chiddush, but as I said, there's certainly other possibilities, right? There's a huge machlokes for shonim, whether the ksuba is mita raisa or mita rabbanan. So it could be also one of these hybrids, concepts versus particulars. Right, you know, sometimes we think of lahavdil, certain managers or people, leaders, you know, there's big picture people and then there's the detail people. So that's what's happening here. The Rebbe Shalom was the big picture person. He said, Yatrecha kamocha, and Chazal, he gave it over to his trusted second in command. You'll be the detail people, how they should do this. In earlier source, this will be ours, when I first reading this, I thought he was saying the same thing as Rav Aaron, but now I want to suggest that perhaps the nuances are subtly different, is the Kiryas Sefer. The Kiryas Sefer, long before it was a town, or a neighborhood, was a sefer written by a Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, the Mabit. Mabit, with the Marit there, from the Chachmei of Tzfat. Contemporaries of the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Kara, they lived in Tzfat. Meretz Hashem, half a week from now, Tuesday, I'll be in Yer HaKodesh Tzfat, and maybe we'll even see the Kvarim there. The Mabit has a Sefer on the Rambam called the Kiryas Sefer. And there he has the suggestion, which the way I'm formulating it now, I think is slightly different than what Rav Aaron said, although as I said, when I first read it, it seemed very familiar, very similar. He says it's not so much the internal versus the actual, but it's the general versus the details. He's not focusing on internal Kim Shebelev for me, as opposed to action outward. The way he says it, and again, it may really just be like a 1A and a 1B, but he focuses not so much on internal versus external, he focuses on general versus details. Now, the alternative completely, whether you want to call it a third or a second approach, really very interesting, but very different, something that I saw in a sefer from one of the other a year ago, deceased Chacham of our generation who was completely underappreciated and unknown because of his tragic life, and that was Rav Shlomo Berman, as he was known as Rav Shlemke Berman. He just passed away last year. You may not know it, but if you never heard of him before, you still knew about his death. I'll tell you why. He was a son-in-law of the Stipler, and he was destined to be the next Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich. In fact, at a young age, he became one of the Rosh Yeshivas of Ponovich. At a very young age, he got Alzheimer's. I think it was Alzheimer's specifically. And he spent many, many years of his life very, very infirm, hidden from, for the most part, public view. And he only passed away last year. If you read anything about the machlokes, I hope it was all l'shem shamayim, especially even including with the Talmidim, that erupted, and I don't think has ever been resolved yet, in Ponovich, about who would take over the Rosh Hashivas. All of that was precipitated by Shlomo Berman's death. The way they have a situation in Ponovich, they have what they're called their older Rosh Hashivas. There's two of them, and then there's the younger Rosh Hashivas. So here, Shlomo Berman was one of the older ones. So when he passed away, someone wanted to be promoted and had to bring someone up. It happens to be, coincidentally or not, even though it was a month or two later in the year, that happened. It was terrible. Also last year while we were on the Shul Mission. It was front page of the Jerusalem Post, and I can't blame them. This is a story. If you're in the news business, you're going to write about this. You can't blame them. Not only because it's as what was known then as the Harvard of Yeshivas, which is what they called it in the newspaper, but the things that the Talmidim were doing to each other and to other Yeshivas. I mean, Yeshivas were coming in to give a shiur, and stink bombs were going off. Kids were taken to the hospital because they got beaten up, broken limbs. I mean, it was horrible. Half the Yeshiva left because they didn't want to be involved with machlokas. I mean, really, really terrible things. So in a much happier time, well before not only that, but even before his machala, Shlomo Berman wrote a number of svarim, all of which are under the title of Asher L'Shlomo. Asher L'Shlomo. So he has a sefer on Seder Moed. So in that sefer, Seder Moed, Simin Zion, this is not such a common sefer. It happens to be that I came across it. I have a very close friend, Rabbi Ari Berman, who was a cousin of Shlomo Berman. So I knew that he had some svarim. And you only find this in yeshivas that don't just have Batei Medrash, but have, so to speak, libraries. So I found this in the YU library. They have all of Shlomo Berman's svarim, not in the Beis Medrash, but they have it on the library. And if you will, and for those who are familiar, in the back room, not the Ezra's Nashrim, but in the back hidden room in Ne'er Yisrael, they also have some of the volumes. This is where they also have the Moed there in Ne'er Yisrael for Shlomo Berman. So he has the following suggestion. He makes the following distinction between these different mitzvahs. And the way he wants to tie it up, the chiluk, is as follows. We saw two things until now. We have the idea of a halachta bedrachov, which is where Chazal, I've been putting them together, but Shlomo Berman says, no, don't put them together. Halachta bedrachov mahu rachum afatar rachum. be merciful, etc. But we also saw a concept of Es HaDerech Asher Yelchuba, which was saying one is Hazrochim, the other was Bigur Cholim. So he says the following. What's the difference? V'halachta b'drachov. This is, again, in this sense, it's similar to what we saw before. That is a kiyum for you. What kind of a person you'll be. So what do we call mitzvos that have to do with my personal growth? Beinadam l'makom. That's just between me and Hashem. What kind of a person I'll be. So he says, that's a mitzvah beinadam l'makom, as he teaches it. But the Es HaDerech Asher Yelchuba, that pasuk, that gemara, that is a different aspect of the mitzvah. That's the one that we would more intuitively think of. Beinadam l'chavero, the idea of helping someone. So that's step one in his thesis. Step two is, there's a major nafkamina between the two aspects. Namely, whether they would merit to be counted as a minyan in the Taryag. Why? Because if it's the Ben Adam L'makom, he says that there's no specific mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. It's a mitzvah of make yourself into that special, sublime type of a person. So, essentially, the kiyum is whether you call Hafarach Kamocha, Avarlach, Avadrachav. That's the one kiyum. That'll be quoted. But the four different ways that, or seven different ways that you get there, they don't deserve to have independent mitzvos attributed to them. They're essentially all details in that one more general mitzvah, which, as he says, is the Ben HaMakom folk, if that's the focus on what it's doing for me. So all five, six, seven of those things all have one common denominator. So it's the common denominator that gets quoted. Those are footnotes in that mitzvah. Oh, you'll tell me. No. It's not just a focus on me and my midos and my neshama. It's a mitzvah to help the person. As we said, we'll get to the details. You'll help him. You'll give him water. And you'll yell at the nurse who's not coming to give him the medicine on time. And you'll feed him. And you'll bathe him. And all those things that you'll do. Then I'm a chavero. Oh, well, that aspect of the mitzvah, he says, that's for sure something gets specific enough. And in theory, it would really... It would really be worthy of independent counting. There's just one problem. The Rambam holds it. That's an asmachta. So, in the end, he parallels what Avraham Soloveitchik said. But instead of focusing on what we said was the internal versus the external, he is saying more or less a very similar thing, but he wants to say, well, in terms of Benam Lamakom, Benam Lachavero. Because the Benam Lamakom is essentially one cube. Your midos, your relationship with Hashem, what kind of person you've become, okay, that's already counted. There's nothing unique about Bikur Cholim. It's just a detail. But to focus on what you're doing for the person, so that's very different than the mitzvah of Hachlas Zorchim, which is different even than Nichma Velim. Those are three different things. Oh, if that would be the issue, then an Echanami would deserve to be counted independently. That's subsumed on anything else. The problem is that Ben Am Lamakom, Ben Am Lachavero party says is only for the Rabbanim. Yes?
Is there involved if you have a chance to lafer akola and you don't, or is it only a kiyum if you do?
I would think the answer would be the latter, which is probably good for all of us who don't have the benefit of being rabbanim and being forced. But I think so. It's a good question, a very good question. And if it'll help get you there, I'll tell you the other answer. I got a list of cholim who really could use some company. Okay. A raya, by the way, for this possibility, although maybe he holds it's daraisa, but just the intriguing component of this is the Sefer Yireim, who lezer mitz, the other ones, the Rishonim, who counts mitzvahs. So he, as I've mentioned in the other shurim and other contexts, when he doesn't just count number of mitzvahs, he has huge categories that he attributes to many mitzvahs in a group. So one of his categories is ha'isurim shenase ra'a v'shamayim ulabrios. Things which, if you do them or don't do them, will have positive or negative consequences, not only in Shemayim, so to speak, but to other people. So it's worth pondering how he would formulate the mitzvah, since he certainly goes out of his way to include it in a one that has these two dimensions. So that B'l'chara is also one of the things that you're doing. Although, again, you're not actively doing it for them, so the question would that be sufficient to define a mitzvah? Anyway, it's not exactly what that means. Again, there's many things about Bikur Cholim that we're not going to talk about. We just can't do everything, and that is one of them. Exactly what that issue is, It relates to another question, which is very fascinating, and there's really what to talk about, especially in today's day and age, which is that, in a certain sense, the Gemara seems to say, most people are familiar with this Gemara in a little bit of a warped way. I said I'm not going to talk about it, but since you mentioned it, just briefly, not in detail. Most people think, oh, if you're mevacha chola, you take away 1/60th of the person's chola. Where do you think it went? Then you read the whole, that's only half the Gemara. The other half of the Gemara is, it goes to you. That's what the Gemara says. Where'd it go? It didn't disappear. That's a good word. So when he has all 60, so he's in trouble. Chola. But if you take one of those, it's not going to hurt you. So what if you're worried it will? Or is there a chiyuv, Zach Mar imply, to endanger yourself to be mevacher chola? And this has been an issue already from the first plague. Poskim have discussed communicable diseases. You have to mevacher chola if you're worried you're going to become the chola yourself. This is a major discussion, and you can imagine for obvious reasons, all the way through until poskim of our day. Mirtz Hashem will be another year, another opportunity, we'll have that year. But that, in a certain sense, jump starts from that Gemara, which seems to imply a certain amount of risk that the chola does take. But I like your betul b'shishim idea. The poskim discuss. Do you have a chiyuv to go maybe even despite that, or can you assume that in the schus of your mitzvah, shluchim mitzvah in the zaka, nothing happens to you? And it's not so clear. This is certainly a special shayla, which also was discussed in recent years about doctors treating patients. You know, this is an issue in the medical community in general. Does a doctor have a right to refuse a patient if he's worried about contracting something? These are very sensitive issues. Well, that we're going to get to. That is on tonight's year.
Well, I'm saying that would
time-wise.
That would take away from the...
Right. Good. Now I want to get to the issue which had been brought up before, and I want to use it to segue between two of your comments. One is, what's the mitzvah? And secondly, that leads to, once we know what the mitzvah is, we'll know, can you do it via telephone, teleconference? I mean, why limit ourselves to telephone? I mean, you're so 80s. You know. It's the 20th century, really, Ellie. You know, teleconferencing on my Palm Pilot, I could say hello. I could record, you know, even the phones, you can get like 15 seconds of video. Right? The camera phones or the digital cameras almost all come with a certain amount of video. So I'll say hi, or Shlomo, hope you're feeling better, whatever. Then I'll give the camera or the phone to some guy and he'll play it for him. That's the Shaila. But we're going to get to that. Before you can get to that, you have to know, so what is the mitzvah? In order to know about innovative fulfillments, first you have to know the basics. What is the mitzvah? So it seems to emerge in some total, you know, there's probably even more details, but three essential components of the mitzvah are articulated by Rishonim. Some quote more than one, others quote one, but in some total we seem to have three essential components. And one of the key points that seems to underlie, at least according to some Rishonim, is a comment that's made by others, but we'll start with the tour. The tour here, again, all this is a Shin Lamed Hei. He says, I don't have the exact quote in my mind, but he's Beferish, and he describes it as, he uses the word, Kishera'uhu. When you'll see him, something like that, I forget the exact conjugation, but he says explicitly, when you'll see the chola, you'll become more attentive to be shamashim, to be attentive to his needs. So the first thing you see in that tour is you're supposed to see him. The second thing is, by seeing him, you'll know, what does he need? Does he need his bed changed? Does he need to be walked to the bathroom? Does he need food? Does he need a new Band-Aid? You'll see him, and then you'll be able to take care of him. This is one of the main components. Give me 10 seconds, Joey. I'm not going to ask for more than that. I just want 10. So, you see two things. Number one is this idea of seeing him, which we'll have to get back to. Number two is that the first component we see from Poskim, and many, really everyone quotes this one, is the basic. What's the basics? You got to help him out. See what he needs. See what his needs are. And obviously then help him in those. Number two, what Joey said. Did I make him 10? I got over the backcourt in 10 seconds. Okay. The Ramban is one of the Ramban's lesser known works. When I say lesser, I mean in general. If you're studying Halacha, certainly in your Yoredeya, you come across this very significantly. The Ramban has a whole sefer, an essay called Torah Sa'adam. That's where the Ramban has many of his, all the Sefer's Velus and other areas, Sefer's Bigur Cholim. It's all, among other things as well, in the Torah Sa'adam. It's in contemporary books. If you buy Shevel as a two-volume Kisvei HaRamban, so in Shevel's edition of the Ramban, it's in the Kisvei HaRamban, it's called the Torah Sa'adam. So this is very well known, quoted by Poskim very heavily. So the Beis Yosef points out, and if you look in the Ramban, it's there. He says that an ikur of Bikur Cholim is that you should daven for the Cholim. Now, I honestly, I'm not going to get into it, Joey. I'm not going to get into it because I don't know the answer of what exactly that means in terms of you have to say a whole tefillah. If you'll just, before you leave, say, Baruch Shalom should give you strength. You should have a full shalema. Is that sufficient? Maybe yes. Or is there something more involved? Do you need to have a tehillim? Do you need to have a misha beirach? There's certainly nothing wrong with any of those. The question is, what do you need to do to meet this criteria of the Ramban? I'm not sure.
And you have to be there?
I didn't say anything yet. So the Ramban says that the ikra of Bikur Cholim is to daven for him. And if you don't daven for him, this is a very stark Ramban. Ramban says, and again, this is given post-Kim, like, that, you know, apprehension since he wrote it, if you don't daven for him, the whole thing was a waste, you weren't Yotzei. That he held that was the ikra. You can't get more powerful than that. And exactly, so what are some of the post-Kim say? Where are you much more likely to be Miss Orer for a real heartfelt fila, when you see him, there's no question about it. There's no question about that. You see somebody with the bandages and whatever, we all have that experience. It doesn't matter what you know you're about to walk in. When you walk into that hospital door, Nebuch, sometimes if it doesn't look good, that has a completely different effect on you than it had before you saw the person of Rahman al-Islam. There's no question that that's true emotionally, psychologically. So it could be that if you focus on the issue of tefila, that there'll also be really an issue of seeing the person, although the Ramban does not say that. But it might follow from what he says. And finally, there's another idea, which is also from the Ramban, but most people don't even really ever see it in the Ramban, but the Beis Yosef made this final idea very significant. And this, I think, very much resonates with all of us. I'm tempted to say it's almost a psychological notion. We often attribute that to be a more modern notion, but the truth is that often Chazal and Rishonim, Ramban, very often, were very sensitive, perhaps well before their time, to some subtle psychological issues. Here the Ramban says, what's the issue? He'll lift his spirits. Chaberschaft, he feels he's not alone. You don't have to get a thing for him. The nurses are taking care of him. He has a 24-hour nurse. And he's got a kolo that's davening for him, Amish, in the other room. And all the tehillim in the world are being said 4 times for him. He doesn't need any of that. He'll talk to him. He'll schmooze with him. He'll tell him what happened in shul this week, which he missed. That was so funny, and he would have loved to have been there. But, you didn't see. This is how the Ravens are doing. Whatever will work for that person. This is what the stock... Okay, fine, I take that back. This is what the Bengals are doing. You know, and you'll tell him if he's a businessman, this is, you know, the stocks went up. The stock, whatever it is, you'll schmooze. This, did you see? This gadol from Yerushalayim is coming to America. Oh, maybe you'll get better. You'll be able to go to a shir from him soon. Whatever it is, the details... There's a chachma in the details, but for the purpose of the halachic share, the details are not important. The details are, the point is to be, that's a Ramban. Again, I'm sure they'll tell you in social work classes, but it's also a Ramban. We should know that. It's a Ramban, he says this. So now, with these three main components, we're ready to address the phone question. The most well-known, although I'm not sure he's the first, but the most well-known analysis of the phone question is a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Yerdei Chelek Aleph, Simen Reish Chav Gimel. And he says, listen, there's no question that this is less than ideal. Avada, Avada, and Avada, you should go and do Mikra Cholim in person. However, what about if you can't? So you might have thought, if I have to be in person, but I'm on a business trip. He's in Eretz Yisrael. And I found out this week, Bli Ayin Hara, the Basuros have been incredibly tovos since the original news. But my best friend, literally, without exaggeration, my best friend in high school, we were mamash inseparable for 2 years. So they diagnosed him with a very large brain tumor. He had to have emergency surgery this week. So about time I spoke to his mother yesterday, and the surgery went as successfully as possible, and the overwhelming odds are, Bli Ayin Hara, that he's going to make a 100% full recovery. But what was I? All I could do was call. Happens to be, I'll be coming to Eretz Yisrael next week. I'll be able to go visit him in person. But right now, so you're not as... So Moshe says, don't think because you can't be there in person, you're 100% potter. Why? So he chathers over. He says, there's three main reasons for Bikur Cholim. And he goes through all three. He says, there's a nafkamina. If the issue is to help him, so you can't help him from afar. Although, maybe every now and then you can, you know, with connections, I know this doctor, I'll get you this appointment. Okay, but Moshe basically assumes you're not going to be able to help him in the way Chazal understood it if you're not there in person. Number two, the tefillah, says Ramosha. Again, in theory, you could daven for anybody anywhere. But the tefillah that's a kiyum for Bikur Cholim, that's when you see the person in your mamash, you're there, you're davening. However, he says, but what's it called? But the third idea, the idea of he should feel he's not alone, that he has friends who care about him and are thinking about him, so that you can certainly do over the phone. And therefore, Moshe says, it's not behiduro, it's not a full, again, I don't know if Moshe could have defined it any better, I certainly can't give you specifics. You get 92% of the mitzvah, 12%, I don't know exactly, but he says, it's not behiduro, there's no question, because you don't have those other two ideally as you could. But there's a certain kiyum, even through the phone, which he understands, or Moshe does, primarily through the lens of that Ramban, of the third approach. Now just to give you the full picture, this is discussed by Dain Weiss, Meir Charedis, Minchas Yitzchok, and Abraish from Switzerland, the Chalkas Yaakov, and the Ber Moshe, the Debert Siner. They all discuss this. For the most part, they all seem to agree. One way or another, you can't fulfill the mitzvah by the phone. However, there's at least two prominent poskim and svarim that I just saw today. I didn't know. I always thought everyone said that. I found out today, two people disagree. The first, the earlier one, is the famous Sefer, again, earlier 20th century, the Sh'arim Mitzuyanim Bahalacha. This was by, I believe it was a Chassidish Rav, Braun. He wrote a Sefer of Likut of poskim on the order of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. See there, the Sh'arim Mitzuyanim Bahalacha, he quotes that it's all about visiting the person. He asks a very good question. He says, couldn't the Rebbe Shalom have called out Tavram? Hakam Hashem didn't do it long distance if you can do it long distance. Ice. You have to go. Even the Rebbe Shalom Kaviyachol went. It's Bikur, they point out. It's Bikur. You have to go. You have to move back here. And I also saw today that Rebbe Asher Weiss says the same thing. Rebbe Asher Weiss quotes this from Moshe Feinstein. Rebbe Asher Weiss doesn't like it. He doesn't quote the Sh'arim Mitzuyanim Bahalacha. Those I found those independently. But he also said, like this, that the ikur of Bikur Cholim is to go. And basically, is it nothing? The answer is no, it's some you'll get chesed points. You know, in certain schools, the kids have to do chesed, and they have chesed hours that they have to allot to. Some if you told the teacher that I called, and I was on the phone for an hour, that could be a chesed hour. But you want to know specifically, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, says Rav Asher Weiss, you're not Yotzei by the telephone. Against this motion, against what seems to be, well, someone had a question. Yes. Maybe he has his own parameters. You have to go, just like Ramosha went methodically. And Chanami, so that's why Ramosha may hold and Chanami. Shaila would be with the other posts disagree. Because they seem to be hanging their hat on the idea of Bikur Cholim being Bikur Mamish, the Bar Sholem went to Avram. Whether the same thing is true for Nechav Olam Ladak, that has to be analyzed independently. But Chanami, if you understand Nechav Avelim in a similar way to the Ramban's understanding of Bikur Cholim, maybe you would say, according to like Rav Moshe said about that, you could fulfill a little bit. But of course, we all know it's different going in person. Right? Half the people who were paying a shiva call to the Neubergers were people from who knows where. How come they didn't just call? Not everyone could come. But those who could come knew because of the difference when you come. Now it happens to be there was a whole group of people, including some Chashma people, who came the afternoon of the day they got up. That was unfortunate. They made a long trip. But Lamaisa, people came because they realized it's a difference. It's a difference for Nechama Ve'elim, and it's certainly true for Bikur Cholim, yes.
Does Nechama Ve'elim have an Indian Kabbalah, whereas Bikur Cholim is not an Indian
Kabbalah? I don't know. I'm not prepared to talk about Nechama Ve'elim. I don't know. What do you mean by Kabbalah? What do you mean by Kabbalah? Okay. We're running out of time, which is fine, because we had a Leibedik discussion. I just want to tell you, the last osios, if you will, on your page, where I have all these other marmakimus, if you want a chance to look those up on your own, I'll just tell you the two other issues which I had hoped to be able to get to, but we're not going to be able to, are number one, are Goyim obligated in Bikur Cholim? This seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. If you want a great mucker, for those who may have it, the Chavetz Chaim Sefer Avas Chesed, which is where he lists a lot of these halakos. See, even the Chavetz Chaim wanted a haskama. He got a haskama from the Netziv. But the Netziv, when he wrote his haskama, didn't just say, I don't know the author, but I see his book. Or I know the author, but I didn't see his book. The Netziv, not only did he know the author, not only did he write the book, the Netziv gave his own chedushim that he doesn't have anywhere else. The Netziv is chedushim, that's haskama of the Chavetz Chaim Sefer Avos Chesed. And his most famous chedush there is that he holds that in general, moral mitzvos, what he calls mitzvos sichlios, are obligated on Goyim, above and beyond. The Sheva mitzvahs are, if you will, more ritual. But to be a mensch, to give tzedakah, to be a vakar cholim, so the Netziv assumes that Goyim are obligated in all of that. Others may disagree, That's one of the issues I wanted to get to, which is whether Jews or non-Jews are obligated also. And the final issue was, everyone holds, the last oath you have on the sheet here, Vav, everyone holds that there's no bracha b'kacholim. The question is why? And in these sources, you would have seen three different answers that are given as to why there's no bracha b'kacholim. And the one side of Shove is that some of the Mefarshim answer that we don't make brachos on mitzvos, which Goyim also do. That doesn't mean necessarily I'm a commander, that's a different issue. But the whether there's a mitzvah daraisa or darbanan, right? Non-Jews visit each other when they're sick. And since that's not a uniquely Jewish activity, therefore, that's one of the answers that's given why we don't make brachos. So that would be a tie-in to the last two osios. But really, they're independent questions. Number one, we're going, we're obligated. Number two, why don't we make a bracha? Okay, shakach to everyone. And let's do b'kacholim.
Is it a mitzvah to visit a b'kacholim?
Yeah, so there's an issue. There's an issue of tzedakah. They
ask. Eva, shalom.
Yeah, so they the Gemara. Yeah, we pass in Mefarnesin and Yeakum Ravak. The Shaila, you know, which we could ask, which is important theoretically, and it certainly could be important philosophically. Are we doing that just so we hope they don't beat us up, but have a pogrom, or you know, is there something more? Yeah, so there's that. At least, I don't remember if he discussed Yuchom specifically, but on the Mitzvah Tzedakah, did you ever walk towards Purim? Did you ever walk towards Purim?
I actually know a son.